Now, to help us set the stage, I want to read a very familiar passage of Scripture to you out of the book of Matthew, chapter 28, as Jesus was about ready to ascend into heaven. And you know this well, and when Brian asked me to preach, he said, listen, why don't you speak to us about missions, because we're gone on missions, and this is what we're into right now, and speak to us about missions, and this is what you're involved in also. I said, sure, be more than happy to. Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, and let me say something here, just a little side note, the therefores in the Scripture are really, really important. You see, Jesus just got through saying right here, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's a powerful statement. Based upon that reality, therefore, here's what he says. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In that same section of Scripture, Matthew records this little line. He says, 11 disciples went, this in verse 18, chapter 28, 11 disciples went to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Only 11. It was a 3-year ministry, and he had 11 gathered with him on this mountain. The 12, now 11, because Judas, of course, had betrayed Jesus, gone off and committed suicide. And for 3 years, these 11 had seen Jesus do what he did so easily, the miracles. For 3 years, they had heard him preach and teach to anyone and everyone. And now, approximately 40 days after his crucifixion and resurrection, why, here they are standing on this mountain. They'd been witnesses to his brutal crucifixion. And they'd been with him in the morning and throughout that first day of the week. They had been eyewitnesses to his resurrection. Phenomenal. And so for these past days until from his resurrection to the time that he ascended into heaven, they had been with him. It was a whirlwind of messages and actions and preparation. And so now they're with him on this mountain. And they're not for sure why they're even there. 11, and I've often referred to these guys as a ragtag band of disciples. I mean, fishermen, regular folk, guys that were just regular guys. Here they are on this mountain. And they're not for sure why they're on that mountain. They're there. But Matthew recorded a little more insight for us into this account. And in the 17th verse of the 28th chapter, he says these words, when they saw him on this mountain, when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. Well, that's natural. That's logical. That's sequential. But some doubted, is what Matthew said. This band of followers had absolutely no clue as to what was about to happen to Jesus. None, absolutely. They had no clue as to what he was going to do. They had no idea what he was going to say. They had no concept of the reality that he was going to be lifted up and disappear into the sky right in front of their eyes. They were totally clueless to what was about to happen. And I want you to listen to what Dr. Luke wrote in the book of Acts. And here's what he says in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 9 to 11. After he said this, he, that is Jesus, was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. In other words, the way that we would probably say it is, there we stood with our mouths wide open. You know, I mean, can you just imagine this? Can you even just climb into the skin of these disciples? And here Jesus just slowly elevates right up into the skies until he's hidden by the clouds. And they're just standing there with their mouths wide open. And then the two angels come by and say, what are you guys standing here with your mouths wide open? Well, duh. You know, a guy just disappeared into the sky. What's that all about? Talk about overload. These guys had seen these miracles in this three-year ministry. They had seen Jesus confound the religious theologians of the day. They had been around on the outskirts in the unbelievable trial and ultimately the crucifixion of Jesus. And then they were witnesses. Witnesses. The word witness in the Greek language is martyron, from which we get our word martyr. In other words, you believe something to the degree that you're willing to die for it. They were witnesses to this stunning, earth-shattering, worldview-smashing resurrection, where a person they knew was dead and buried had been bodily raised from that tomb of death and now was here with him. Totally out of their ability to even comprehend what that was about. And now they watch him ascend into heaven. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the words he told them just before he left them, he said, hey, look. And they still didn't know that he was going to ascend. He said, look, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. Pretty profound. Therefore, based upon that reality, you go and you make disciples of all nations. And you can just hear these 11 guys, you know, as Jesus ascends into heaven, they're saying, what? Go into all the world? The world that they knew it was a world that they could walk in. And their world was so small. It was so provincial. I must confess, when I look at our world today, and we're able to look at it, I mean, the shots that are made of our earth, as you see on the screen, as we stand back and we look at this little speck of dust sailing through space, and on it is humanity. When you sit down and look at that little speck of dust, I too am overwhelmed, taking the gospel to all the world, but not to the point of despair. Please understand that. Not to the point of despair. I want you to think with me for just a moment about going into all the world and making disciples. Today, we know how big the world is. And we know approximately how many people are living on this planet. And because of the technology of computerization, we actually have a good idea of how many people have never heard the story of Jesus Christ. These people groups that are stashed away here and there, that for whatever reason, politics, government, isolation, you name it, they have just never heard the name of Jesus Christ. In very round numbers, and please don't hold me to this, it's just round numbers, there are about 7 billion people living on that little speck of dust right now, to the best of our knowledge. And to the best of our knowledge, around 2 billion have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. But believers all over this planet are doing something about making sure people who have never heard hear the good news of Jesus. Academy, for example, has 15 people down in Ecuador and in South America. Is that amazing or what? And what are they doing? Making disciples. And somebody might stand back and say, well, that's such a tiny number. And quite possibly that is. And quite possibly that's what the 11 disciples said 2,000 years ago as they stood on this hill. And not even a concept of what this globe was all about. It's such a tiny number. We're such a tiny number. And you want us to go into all the world? And in our world today, we have people for whom it can be said, even as it was said of some of the disciples who watched Jesus ascend into heaven, and some doubted. That's even today in 2015. But Academy Christian is part of an army of churches who are also doing exactly what you guys are doing. Sending 15 people of your church down to Ecuador or someplace else in the world. And believe it or not, thousands upon thousands of believers are traveling around this globe telling the story of Jesus, just like the 15 from here at Academy are doing even right now. And just like you do in your own neighborhoods, in your communities, in your schools, in your places of business, where you are the testimony and the light and life of the person and story and reality of Jesus Christ. You'll not hear about this on the evening news, but you need to know that there are disciples around the world committed to telling the story of Jesus to anybody and everybody, just as the 11 were 2,000 years ago when Jesus ascended into heaven. And true, some doubted. And that will always be part of the story. But by God's grace and in God's power and in God's timing, all 11, 2,000 years ago, all 11, which included the doubters, all moved forward and literally, as the history books tell us and as the scriptures tell us, literally, they turned their world upside down. And it started with 11. You're here today because somebody told you the story of Jesus. Or somebody told your parents. Or somebody told your grandparents. And belief came about. And you're here today because of the faithfulness of people over these past 2,000 years to go into all the world and make disciples and tell the story. And so Jesus gave the 11 sort of a roadmap, if you please. He kind of said, you start here, and eventually you'll end up there. Let me read that to you. It's in Acts, the first chapter, verse number 8. And here's what it says. And listen to the word of the Lord. This is how Luke recorded what Jesus said. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. There's that word witness. Martyrom. I'll die for it. That's from the word that we get martyr from. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And you can actually open up the book of Acts and you can see how that happened. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the world. The gospel was first preached in Jerusalem, Acts 2. Acts chapter 7, there was persecution. The church scattered, it says, to Judea and Samaria. And then in Acts chapter 13, or Acts chapter 13, it says that there was more persecution, and it says there in Acts 13, 4, and the gospel is carried to the ends of the earth, as they understood the ends of the earth at that time. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And that's been the story of the followers of Jesus since that time. Christians preach and teach right where they live and move. That's what you guys are doing. That's what we're all doing. Our neighbors, Judy and I live in a little cul-de-sac every summertime. We've only lived in this cul-de-sac 2 years, and so I say every time, every summer. We did it last summer. We're going to do it this summer, next summer, next summer. We always invite our friends over that are in the cul-de-sac and the people whose yards are behind us, and we just invite them over for a barbecue and just to be a testimony to the friends that are around us, and they all know that we're believers and that we're followers of Jesus Christ. So we do it within our neighborhood. Secondly, Christians carry the gospel of Jesus to the neighboring counties or states or cities or communities, just like you're doing here in Colorado. And then eventually Christians carry the gospel all over the world, like 15 of your people are doing in Ecuador even today. So Acts 1:8 is alive and well in the body of Christ in 2015. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to start from around the world, the big picture, and then I want to work my way back down that megaphone, back down here to Colorado Springs. You have taken the word of Jesus seriously as you go around the world. I got on your website. I said, so what's on this website? And you're involved with ministries and missions all over the world. You may or may not know this. You're in Bangladesh. You're in Kenya. You're in India. You're in Myanmar, which used to be Burma. You're in the South Pacific. You're in Mali in West Africa. You're in Tanzania. You're associated with FAME and IDES, two ministries that serve people around the world. And you're not only supporting these ministries with prayers and finances, but in the case of Compassion International, you're actually sending people to Ecuador this week to preach and teach the gospel to people there. And you might think, but we're so small. We're just Academy Christian Church, and the world is so big. And that's true. But when there are thousands and thousands of Christians from all over the world doing exactly what you are doing this weekend in Ecuador, we begin to understand that the gospel is alive and well, even though you might not see it or hear it on the evening news. Judy and I have had the privilege of traveling the world. And it's one of those things. We had no clue when this all began, but we've been around the world. I preached in Russia, all over Russia, to thousands of people in so many different places. But I've also preached in stick huts to the Maasai in the highlands of Kenya, Africa. I preached in churches in some of the stans, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, persecuted churches with over 1,000 people in each church and with amazing stories, as well as the underground churches in China, where you put a coat over your head at nighttime and you slip into a building and you stay there for 3 days as people ease in and ease out. People who have spent time in prison and in jail and been beaten and businesses taken away and displaced simply because they're followers of Jesus Christ. I preach in Southeast Asia throughout those nations. I preach in South America as well as on the major islands of the Philippines. And this is what I want to tell you from a personal experience. In Acts 1:8, when Jesus told his followers, "And you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth," I've been privileged to see that fulfillment in the words of Jesus and have actually experienced all of that in our travels. The gospel has been preached to the ends of the earth by so many believers over these years. But even today, like I mentioned earlier, there are these large pockets of unreached people groups that are in nations that are buried away. You can't get to them because of politics. You can't get to them because of war. You can't get to them because of isolation. But other people in those nations can get to them. And so we're very heavily involved in a ministry that trains nationals to carry the gospel into a place where you and I could never go. It's an amazing story. We've experienced the words of Jesus, and you have experienced the truth of the words of Jesus in your aggressive missions program right here at Academy. So that's the big picture. Let's come down to Judea Samaria. And Judea Samaria is what I call our North American continent. Once again, I wish I had the time to tell you how the message of Jesus is going forth in America. Sometimes it appears as though the gospel is being squelched right here in our own country. But in spite of the changes in our culture, all not good, I might add, but changes nonetheless, men and women are still coming to faith, and the body of Jesus is doing well in so many areas. You just don't hear about it. Judy and I were in New York just a few weeks ago with a whole group of folk who are doing amazing things for the Lord Jesus Christ in our nation. People who are giving generously financially so that churches can be built and planted. Pastors and church leaders are preaching the word of Jesus in difficult places, and hundreds, even thousands, are coming to faith as they hear the words of Jesus Christ taught and preached from very difficult megacities. And I don't mean to put Detroit on a negative, but Detroit's in a difficult situation right now. The inner city and the city of Detroit is in difficulty. But in all that unease and unpredictability and problems, the body of Christ is exploding in that city. From cities like that down to the middle farmlands of America, churches are changing the landscape where they are located. In my travels and what I see and read, it appears to me that churches who are preaching Jesus and Him crucified, resurrected, are the ones that are growing and expanding. Really, there seems to be a shift going on in America, if I can say it from my perspective, on this North American continent, in our Judea and Samaria. People, and consequently churches, who are serious about Jesus, and listen to this closely, serious about Jesus-centered, transformational change and growth, are the churches that are actually expanding and multiplying and are life-giving churches in our culture and in our generation today. We've seen the world. And then just a short look at North America. But now I want us to focus in on our state, Colorado, our Jerusalem. As you've heard, Judy and I lead the Church Planters of the Rockies, a church planting organization that helps plant churches in our state. And this organization has been here in the state of Colorado for a number of years, many, many years for that matter. It's done an amazing job in planting life-giving churches over the years. You need to know that. The name of this organization has morphed, and now it's the Church Planters of the Rockies. And we're connected with Christian churches throughout the state, about 70 such churches. And many of these churches trace their beginning to the planting ministry of the Church Planters of the Rockies, or its earlier namesake. And Academy is one of those churches who have supported this ministry in the state of Colorado, along with other Christian churches. And I want to thank you for your leadership, for your longtime support of what is happening here in the state of Colorado. But actually, when you consider the state of Colorado, you're looking at about five distinct geographical areas in this state, and culturally distinct areas. And as we develop ministries in these five areas, we're very, very mindful of what we're doing and how we're planting churches. Jesus said, go into all the world, and then we got to figure out exactly what that means in the context of where we live. Throughout Scripture, we are told to be wise and to be prayerfully involved in all we plan and do. And so with those scriptural mandates in place, we want to make sure that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ has the best opportunity to shine brightly in each locality. So as a church planting organization, we actually divide this state up into five geographical areas. There's the Denver-Boulder axis, that corridor, that heavily populated section of Colorado. And then from Castle Rock South to the southern border, we have the influence and leadership of your city here, Colorado Springs, and of course the Air Force Academy. And I know I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but listen, Colorado Springs is different from Boulder. I just want you to know that. To the west, we have the mountain towns and the western slope. In fact, you could take that western section, you could divide it into two categories. The recreational ski towns, Breckenridge, Vail, and the communities on the western slope, such as Grand Junction. Do you think that Grand Junction is like Vail? No. And the way you go preach the gospel, it's the same gospel, but the way you package it in Vail is going to be different than the way you package it in Grand Junction. Same story of Jesus. But you better understand who lives where and how they approach life. To the north of Longmont in our state, up to the Wyoming border, and over towards Nebraska on the east, ranches, farmland, universities, oil, fracking up in that neck of the woods. I was just up there preaching 3 weeks ago, and half the vehicles in the parking lot were all pickups, in some type of exploration situation. And also, those counties up there are the ones in the last election who voted to secede from the state of Colorado. It's just different. And the guys up there have got to understand exactly who they're preaching to and who they're teaching to. It's the same story, you just package it different. And then finally, to the east, we have the large ranches and farms and small communities that run out to Kansas and the smaller communities that are located there who will only come to Denver if they have to. And who, when you talk to them and say, when was the last time you were in Denver? It was 1949. As the church planters of the Rockies, we're committed to seeing that the gospel is preached and declared in all five of these distinct areas of our state. And so I want to tell you what's happening right now. There's a couple, Neil and Rosie Snyder, who are planting a church in downtown Denver. If you go up to 25 and you go there by the stadium where the Broncos are going to win the NFL this next year. Why, you go right past that stadium, and first of all, you put a hand over your heart when you go past the stadium, but just a little ways, as you look at that stadium, just about a mile to the west and to the south, is a large Hispanic population, and we're planting a church right there in that community. Matt Morgan and his family are on the campus at Denver University, and Matt started about a year and a few months ago. They're numbering over 300 people meeting on that campus now. It's not just students from the campus, but from that eclectic neighborhood around the campus. And as you go down or up or down I-25, you can see the buildings over there on the west side of the freeway. Ernest Smith and his family planted Front Range Christian Church just up here in Castle Rock. They're averaging somewhere around 600 now, only a year and a few months old. And you go up to 25 or down, whatever, it's to the east of the 25, about 7 or 8 miles out there in the subdivisions that really feed into the south side of Denver, and they're in a school and just tearing it apart. Let me tell you about Ernest Smith, the church planter there. He's not even 40 years old yet. He's from South Carolina. And he became a Christian at age 17. He was an atheist. And a girl that he was dating said, come to church with me. And he went to church, and there he met the Lord. And he said, this is pretty important. And so he volunteered to move furniture in this church. And then somebody said, you ought to be a youth sponsor. And so he became a youth sponsor. A few years later, somebody said, you ought to lead the youth ministries of this church. You have to understand this church is 20,000 people, has different campuses. And so here's this man, young man who used to be an atheist who now is leading the youth ministry of all these kids in this 20,000-member church. And then somebody said, you know what, Ernest? We think you and your wife have church planning on you. And he and his wife began to pray, and they said, yeah, that sounds right. And so you know what they did? They said, what are the five most unchurched cities, mega cities, in the United States of America? And Denver is one of them. And they went and checked these cities out, and they felt compelled to come to Denver. And so they, in their own personal lives, began to make plans to move to Denver and to the Denver area. They were leading, in South Carolina, they're leading a small group, a home group, in the week. There were about 10 other couples their ages, as I understand the story and as I've talked with Ernest. And they didn't know what Ernest and his wife were doing until Ernest and his wife said, we're going to Denver, that's where God's leading us. And then they came to their small group, and one night they said, we're leaving. Where are you going? Denver. What are you going to do? Plant a church. We're going with you. 9 of the 10 couples sold their homes, changed their businesses, and all moved to Colorado. I'm telling you, this younger generation is amazing. I'm an old man. I know, I look young. I know you think I'm 49. But, and I'll take you to lunch because you think that. But I'm an old man, and I'm so jazzed about this younger generation. And these 9 couples went with them, and they formed the nucleus of what is happening in that church. I'm happy to tell you right now that even as Dick said, we have 5 couples who are ready to plant churches right now. I already told you about the little Spanish church in downtown Denver, but there's a church just north of Denver, north of Broomfield, south of Erie. A church plant's going to be planted there. A church in Windsor. You may not know Windsor. Windsor's between Greeley and Fort Collins, an expanding, growing community. There's a church going to be planted in the Green Valley Ranch. If you look at DIA, if you go to Denver International and you go south, there's a whole new development called the Green Valley Ranch area. Thousands of people out there, multiracial, and the guy and his wife, the young church planting couple, grew up in a multiracial situation. They are just frothing at the mouth to get into the Green Valley Ranch area. And then there's a church going to be planted on the Front Range, somewhere between here and Loveland. We're not for sure the exact location yet, but there'll be a church planted there. You see, why do I tell you these things? Because you don't hear that stuff on the evening news. And you need to understand that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is much bigger than just what we can see and do right here. Much bigger. And I want to thank you. And I want to thank Brian for the opportunity to share these exciting stories with you. And I want to thank you for your heart for missions. Not only for Ecuador and all the other areas that you are concerned about and praying about as far as the spreading of the gospel, but also in the United States and also right here in Colorado. Your testimony, Academy Christian Church, has a great testimony here in the state of Colorado and in the United States and in the world. And I commend you for that. And I don't want you to grow weary in well-doing. Sometimes it seems like the tide is going the wrong way. But I want you to know that underneath the surface, the kingdom of God is alive and well. I've traveled all over China, been in all these places. You don't know this, but there are millions of believers in China. And they are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with their brethren, even though they spend time in prison and in jail. They are martyrs. They are witnesses for the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the testimony to me is, if that can happen in China, that can happen in the United States. And if that can happen in the United States, that can happen in Colorado. And I want you to know that it's happening in Colorado. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to share these stories and to share this testimony with Academy. I thank you for Brian and the team down in Ecuador. And I pray that you would not only bless the team, but also all the men and women, boys and girls that they impact for Jesus Christ in that great nation. And then, Lord, I would pray for the present and the future here, not only in Academy, but in the state of Colorado. As we understand that there are so many things that are going on within this state, and that the name of Jesus is alive and well in so many different areas within our state. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and we pray your blessing. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.